The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group. So happy to have Helen Flynn join me again. Helen, good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
Welcome to part four of Right Sizing for Life, where we'll go through some of the most important steps in the right sizing process. And on today's show, Helen and I will discuss the emotional health of our clients. Now, remember, there are seven areas of wellness in every one of our lives, and emotional happens to be one of the seven. As you're trying to decide whether you should downsize or right size, as we say, or whether you should stay where you are, age in place, or move wherever, as two of you, two in a couple, perhaps, trying to decide together, one who says, they're going to have to take me out of here in a box, and the other one that says, I wish I was out of here yesterday. How do you cross those bridges together? How do you decide together and come to a decision together? You know, we're sometimes marriage counselors at the Eric Stewart Group and the Senior Solutions team because we try to help you get to the heart of what keeps you where you are and maybe doesn't keep you free to do what's best for you going forward. So the Right Sizing Guide, which is a free publication that we offer out at the Eric Stewart Group, it's something I wrote over the years as I've gone through helping hundreds of people go through this process, and you can download it. There's no charge. It's about 50 pages that you can read online. You don't have to print it. Just go to ericstewartgroup.com, go to resources to the Right Sizing Guide. And if you want, go there now, because we're currently on page 6, okay? And we're discussing the emotional health. The question is, how is your emotional health, and what is your preferable future? Helen.
Well, that brought me back to days when I was doing marriage counseling.
Ah.
And it occurred to me that often if I'm meeting with a couple, that it's very possible they're not both on the same page.
You think?
And the whole process of talking about it and finding out what each individual is looking for can be very enlightening for the couple. Mm-hmm. So I use that approach when I'm talking with a couple. And sometimes it happens that one of the people is not ready, is not willing to be ready, mm-hmm. and probably will never be ready. And the other one is feeling burdened by the house and lonely and just wants to get moved. So that can be a process. And if it isn't dealt with in the beginning, it will mean problems with the contract from listing to settlement, because the sellers will not be on the same page in terms of accepting an offer, nor will they be on the same page of looking forward to the next chapter of their life. Mm-hmm. If someone goes into this move because the kids are making them do it, in those cases, the individual lets me know loud and clear that they don't want to do this, but they're doing it because the kids want them to. And that, too, can make for a very difficult transaction. Had a lady that had put her townhouse up for sale with me, and when the contract came in very early on, like the first weekend, she looked at it and said, well, they're giving me $10,000 less than I asked for. Mm-hmm. And at that time, that was a very good offer. And I was sitting side of her. She was using a wheelchair, and I was sitting side of her. Her daughter was across the way. And it dawned on me what was happening. And I just put my hand on her arm and said, it came too soon, didn't it? And the floodgates of tears opened. And then we were able to move on, and she felt much more at peace, not thrilled, but mm-hmm. much more at peace by the whole thing, realizing that she was being heard.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do a listing appointment, that's crucial, to listen to what your clients are telling you. not only what they're saying, but the body language, what we're reading between the lines. Had a couple a few years ago who had a lovely home with a swimming pool surrounded by woods, and they had spent probably 30 years in this house, and they loved the seasons. They loved to garden. They loved the pool. And they called me for a listing appointment because they were recognizing that their lives, they were slowing down, that eventually something was going to happen to one of them that would prevent staying in that home. So I talked with them, and the more I listened and the more they heard each other, which oftentimes until the agent gets there, the couple haven't really talked in depth about their feelings about selling a home. And often there's this moment of, I didn't know you felt that way. And then we cross that hurdle. With this particular couple, at the end of the listing appointment, I said, you know what? You're not ready. You're just not ready. And you could feel the sigh of relief in the room. A year later, they called me back again. At that point, they were ready. The house sold again on the first weekend, and everything went so smoothly, and both people were very happy. So listening, knowing your own feelings. I met with someone recently that said to me, I thought I wanted to move, but now I'm not so sure. And sometimes as we get close and we take the first steps and say, well, maybe I'll find out about it, or maybe I'll download something from the Eric Stewart site, or maybe I'll even call an agent from the Eric Stewart Group. And the agent gets out there, and all of a sudden reality hits, and the person looks around their house that they've been in for forever, and it's, what am I doing? I can't leave here.
Mm-hmm.
All my children's birthdays were celebrated here, and on and on and on. And this particular person was a widow, and there's often an immediate reaction when losing a spouse. Well, I'm going to have to move, mm-hmm. because the house is overwhelming, and the maintenance and the expenses, everything about it becomes overwhelming. But that's not usually a good idea. Time is important in those cases. In this case, it had been several years, and the person I was talking to was very hesitant. I know it's probably time, but I'm not sure that I want to do that. And that is certainly an understandable position to be in. And one of the examples that another person gave me was, what if I walk in the dining room and I don't know where to sit or what table to sit at? Or what if I walk down the hall and my room is at the end of the hall and I just walk by closed doors every day? There's so many fears, some of which a person can't even put into words, but that make this process very difficult. Mm-hmm. And I often urge the person to look at what they are feeling in this moment. Is it fear, or is it anger that they've lost a spouse, sorrow because they're very, very lonely? What is the emotion that is driving the possibility of making a move? When you know that, then you can take the next steps.
Helen, that was just fantastic. I feel like I should be lying down on a couch now and getting some counseling. No, but seriously, that emotional encumbrance, oftentimes is just about getting it off your chest, just mm-hmm. saying something and having somebody to talk to about it. And that's, a lot of times that's you and I. It's mm-hmm. There's a couple in McLean that I sold their home last year. And as I sat with them and I said, so it sounds to me, to the wife, like you're actually ready to sell. And she said, absolutely. And he was shocked. He said, you are? He was expecting her to say no, because he had already preconceived that she wasn't, but the issue wasn't that she wasn't ready to sell. It was she didn't know how to work through the emotions of it, right?
That's right.
So, hey, for more information about this and a copy of the Right Sizing Guide, go to ericstewartgroup.com. Thanks a lot, Helen.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Well, now we're going to talk to Stuart Rosenthal. How is this every week you come in for 1 minute? This is unbelievable. Thank you very much.
See what I will do for you.
The Beacon Newspaper, it's your free publication. You can read it online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. What do we have this week?
Some interesting health stories. Okay. First of all, there are new drugs being developed to reduce migraines among those who aren't helped by other treatments. And I know this is very important for a lot of people. We can learn the difference in one article from Mayo Clinic on the between palliative care and hospice care. They're not the same thing, and it's worth knowing the difference. How do you cope with ringing in your ears? Tinnitus is a problem for a lot of older adults as well. Mm-hmm. Some foods and games to improve your brain. We talk about some of those as well. And then there's this new shingles vaccine you've probably heard about. There's been a lot of buzz about it. It's much more effective than the old shingles vaccine. And everybody says it's worth getting if you're over 50. The only problem is it's probably not yet covered by insurance. The CDC has not yet authorized that. And once the CDC fully accepts the recommendation of its committee, then it should be covered by insurance companies and you can go out and get it.
Pick up your free copy of The Beacon at over 1,500 locations or read more about that online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, so where's the creepiest place in your house? A lot of people's attics are really creepy. They're that place that you don't go to very often. You kind of just stuff boxes up there and they hope they just automatically disappear. Well, few of us dare to declutter the attic, right? So after all, where does the junk go to die? It dies in the attic. Recently, I sold a property in Northwest D.C., and we went to settlement only to discover after the fact that there was a couch in the attic of this particular house. I was representing the seller. We offered to take care of it, but it was a complete surprise since the property had been a rental property for a long time. And the attic did not have stairs. It wasn't like people went up there and, you know, hung out in the attic. You had to climb up through a hole in the ceiling off a ladder. So if you ever wondered how to declutter your attic and frankly, you know, deal with the creepiness of your attic and actually be ready for a sale, I'm going to tell you how to in just a second. But before I do, I want to remind you that we are a team at the Eric Stuart Group of Seniors Real Estate Specialists. We've got a great team called the Senior Solutions Team. And Helen Flynn, who you just heard, is the head of that. So if you're ready, call us today. We'll come out and meet with you and help you make your move. 800-900-9104 or ericstuartgroup.com for more information. Back in a moment.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stuart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't float, no, too much stuff.
If you dare to learn how to declutter an attic, after all, that is where junk goes to die. Once stuff lands here, you forget about it entirely. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Well, not really. The once dark, cobwebbed, filled eaves are currently undergoing a pretty startling transformation into playrooms, offices, and other types of useful space. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a kid, I used to go up into the attic of our home because that's where we stored our Christmas ornaments and that's where our tomato cages were kept until springtime when we planted our tomatoes in the ground right after Memorial Day. It's also where my father kept his old pair of army boots that smelled so badly my mom would not allow him to keep them in the closet downstairs. And I looked out the window, looking out to the west, and thought to myself, what a wonderful place. It was just a little higher up in the attic, and looking out to the west, I thought, God, it would be great to just have a little room right here to look out this window. You know, some probably 30, 35 years later, I bought my parents' house, and we actually transformed the attic of their home and that space into a room that I'll go up into and look out that window and enjoy that marvelous view. So, even if all you want is a storage space, wouldn't it be nice to know exactly where things are rather than needing to rip open every box to find those Christmas lights? To realize your attic's true potential, you've got to go through the process of decluttering. And so, the great thing about the attic is that most storage is there for long-term use, which means that once it's been decluttered, it's done for years to come. The bad news is that the attic is second only to the garage when it comes to clutter and chaos. Why would the garage be first? Well, because we're constantly using the garage. Trash cans come in and out. We use it much more often than we typically use an attic. You'll be smart to tackle the attic. When? What time of day is best? Really, think about it. When is the attic the hottest? In the afternoon, right? So tackle it first thing in the morning in springtime, and that temperature won't be bad. You want to prepare yourself in advance. Get a box, two boxes, three boxes, some trash bags. Markers would be a good idea. And some duct tape or otherwise packing tape, so that when you do bring a box down from the attic or bring it over to the edge and give it to somebody else who's on a ladder, it doesn't open up on top of them. You certainly want to clear a path so you can push a box all the way to that opening. And you want to use our system for the what we call the loading zone, the LZ, where you have stuff you want to keep, stuff you want to give to the kids, stuff that you want to sell, give away, or just simply throw away will go into the trash. If you do that, you can actually go through the attic and start there and work your way from the top of your home down to the basement. So I guess what I'd like to communicate is that you also have some value in the attic. There may, in fact, be a few bucks in the attic, baby, kids' clothes, things that you might not realize people would purchase, even if it's just a few dollars at a time. Recently, I bought a pair of gloves, and my son bought a jacket on eBay. Now, the jacket was a $375 jacket that he got for $100. And how did he get it? Well, he bought it on eBay from somebody who had, I guess, slightly spilled something on it, decided they weren't going to use it. They took a picture of it, put it on eBay, and my son was the highest bidder. He saved almost 75% on the purchase of that, and it was virtually brand new. So if you challenge yourself, taking the things out of your attic, photos and heirlooms and things like this, you want to cause a change in your life, then take the spaces one at a time and let that snowball start its way downhill. And use your attic. Perhaps you can't get to your attic easily. Maybe even putting pull-down staircase-style stairs to get up to your attic will transform the use of the attic for you and your family. Some attics are just simply too shallow for you to get up there and do anything other than put boxes in that space and forget about them. But other attics, especially ones that were built 50 years ago, oftentimes have a very high peak in them. They really are good. And even the way that the supporting beams are supporting the attic, you can create a space in the attic that would work very well as a potential art studio with a small fan going up through the attic roof. Just remember, because you have the space doesn't mean that you should fill it. In fact, you might create space that will add to the value of your home. Rethink the use of your attic space. Okay, so now if you have an attic and you've gone through that process, what are some of the habits that the key six clutter buster habits that really make a difference as you try to go through decluttering your home this new year? You remember last week I mentioned to you buying shirts that didn't fit yet, thinking they were such a good value, only to realize that the only person who got a good value out of that was Nordstrom Rack, because they got my money for shirts that don't fit yet. Yeah, arguably, if they did fit and I bought them thinking I would make them fit by losing weight, I still haven't quite gotten there, they could be a good value to me if I can bring myself to that point in time in the near future where I actually wear them. Otherwise, the value will be lost. The money will be lost, and I could have done something else with it. Clothes are one of those strange things in life that we put a lot of money into that really don't carry much value at all after we purchase them. In fact, it's very difficult. If you think about it, that almost brand new coat that my son bought, he only paid 28, 29, 30% for that coat when he bought it from somebody else, and it was probably just a few months old. So let's not use our closets the way that we have. I mentioned to you the possibility of just wearing a shirt or a jacket, and instead of hanging it up the way all of your clothes are hung up now, turn it around and hang it the other direction. And then at the end of the year, anything that isn't hanging in the new direction, take it out, give it away, or sell it at consignment if it's got real value. You know, if you kept your clothes season after season and you've never worn them, there's probably a reason. Maybe you got them as a gift from somebody and you're trying to honor the giver by keeping them. What about those other things that you keep in closets that really you've kept because somebody gave it to you and maybe you bring it out once a year whenever they arrive? Well, if that's the case and you really don't use it unless they're there, you know, I think they would be very appreciative of you using their gift. But on the other hand, it's not what defines the relationship. And if the gift is what defines the relationship, it's not much of a relationship. If you bought items last year that you didn't really love or need because they were on sale, think about giving them back to the store, even if you only get store credit. Oftentimes I'll walk in and say, hey, this didn't quite work for me. Can I possibly get store credit for it? Maybe I got it as a gift. Maybe it was a Christmas present. There was a pair of green socks, a green bow tie that I got that was pre-tied, and I tie my own. I appreciated the thought from the person that gave me the bow tie, but I'll never wear it because it looks to me like a pre-tied bow tie, and I just don't like that look. So rather than just keeping it or giving it away and wasting the value, I actually think I'm honoring the person who gave it to me by taking it back to the store and exchanging it for something I really want. I don't think my friend would mind me doing that. You know, if you box your items up, make sure you label the outside of the box. And remember, use your basement. Don't rent a storage space for storage, but use the walls. Don't clutter the middle space of your basement if at all possible. If you've gotten in the habit of using your pool table or your ping pong table as a storage facility, maybe it's time to remove the pool table and the ping pong table and instead take those boxes and stick them against the wall. One neat trick is to divide the wall space that you have on as a room space. So for instance, if you walk down your steps, maybe the first 8 to 10 feet on the left-hand side is for dining room stuff or a bedroom stuff or whatever stuff, maybe winter stuff. You decide what its use is. And lastly, if you've kept a mental list of what you need to buy at the grocery store, think about making a physical or electronic grocery list rather than trying to remember in your mind. I mean, I've got stuff in my closet. When I go to Costco, you know, I buy for value. Folks, you've learned that about me, but I don't always need it. There are things in my closet at home. There are things in my pantry that I really don't need. I've got more than enough of. I think I probably will do very well if there's a world war. But frankly, some of the stuff will just age out, won't be any good. It'll get thrown away anyways. And I could have taken those dollars and purchased some stock or done something for a friend or otherwise. These are just some tips for decluttering. I hope you've enjoyed the Senior Solutions show. We enjoy every Sunday coming to you, and I'm glad that Helen Flynn could join me today. If you've listened and would like more tidbits or to listen to other shows, go to ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com, or call us today, and one of our team will come out and see you. It's toll-free, 800-900-9104. For National Real Estate News, Real Estate Now, tonight at 9:30 p.m. right here on WMAL. Hope to see you then. You know you can hurt yourself.
Too much stuff. Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper is meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.